Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
It's the Luke and the Pete Show. It is Monday, the 8th of June. Could be June, could be February, could be March. Nobody really knows. All I know is I've not had a shower yet, so I'd like to apologise right now for broadcasting sans shower.
Yeah, I'm Luke. I'm the other part of this foul jamboree. And Peter, I should say to our listeners who may well be listening to this at any time of the day or night, that it's not even that early in the day. I mean, you wanted to record today very, very early this morning, and we decided against that. So what is the excuse for not having a shower at this stage?
I have had a busy weekend. I was down in Bristol throwing a statue into the water, and I've just returned, still glistening with sweat from that particular bit of physical exertion. But I'm back, baby. I'm back to do the Pete Show.
You just couldn't be bothered, did you?
I just couldn't be bothered now. I've managed to make bagels and also steam some dim sum in the time between getting up and doing this podcast record. So it's not like I haven't achieved. I've been to Tesco's, dripping in my own filth, and I've just not got round to...
All sorts of different cultural touch points for the food you're making.
Exactly.
Well,
dim sum, bagels. What's that? Like kind of New York... New York bagels, like they're quite big over there, aren't they?
Well, the bagel is the finest Jewish tradition of food, isn't it? Yeah, and dim sum is, of course, the part of the world that you have the most affinity for.
Passover Pete. That's what you call me.
Passover Pete. That's what the agents call him.
Heavy, light pencil Donaldson. Somebody sent me a little link via text of, I've been to Portugal recently, I've been to Japan recently, and last year I went to South Korea. Somebody pointed out that the age of consent is 14 in Portugal, 13 in Japan, and 13 in South Korea, pointing out that I'm some kind of problematic sex tourist. But
well, for those of us who knew that for a long time,
exactly,
it's not news.
Exactly. Fascinating though. I think Spain only improved their outlook very recently. It's weird, like the actual legal definition of what is legal and what isn't legal. Obviously, they have the Romeo and Juliet laws and stuff like that, but the hard and fast kind of numbers are actually quite stark in a lot of US states as well.
How are we talking?
I don't know.
About this?
I just reminded me of being. you said that I travel to the Far East quite a lot. It just reminded me of someone casting aspersions my way, which is basically what my WhatsApp is for. People having a go at me.
I didn't say that. I said the country of Dim's, home of Dim Sum, is a country you have a lot of affinity for. And all of a sudden, we've got 2 minutes of sex tourism and the age of consent. I mean, you're hiding in plain sight here, Donaldson. You want to have a look at yourself?
Oh, no. Nightmare. Well...
this is why we should sketch out the show from start to finish and prep what we're going to do in advance. Otherwise, this kind of
just right at the top of the cheat sheet, just right at the top of the running order. Pete, don't talk about the paedophilia. This early on the show, especially when you're full of dim sum,
please
full of energy.
No, at any point, talk to us about the dim sum. What was inside?
Oh,
what was
like a tight ball of prawn. It's just they're very nice. People sort of go to dim tea and buy dim sum at restaurants and at Chinese's, and it looks like the most difficult thing to make in the world. But it's literally just steam it for 5 minutes and they're cooked. They're all cooked.
But what's the so? Forgive me of my ignorance. I do like a dim sum. I actually like dim tea at a restaurant as well. I enjoy going there. Particularly love their coconut rice. What's the dim sum? The actual dumpling itself made.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's like a starchy kind of.
Are you just buying the wraps and then wrapping them up and then steaming?
No, I'm literally just buying them frozen, mate. Literally just buying them frozen.
Oh, for God's sake, anyone could do that.
Yeah, but you've got to steam them, haven't you? But nobody does that. People think you've got to...
You're supposed to be authentic.
I love it. But yeah.
Let me just be absolutely clear, at the risk of sounding like a pedant. You started this little conversation by saying, oh, people think it's really hard, but it's not. It's not really hard at all. It's really easy. Why? Because I'm buying them frozen. Yeah.
You just give them a steam.
Nothing, it's not cooking, is it?
Well, I mean, to pound your own sticky rice kind of... I don't even know what it's wrapped in. I presume it's some kind of rice derivative.
There's the euphemism again.
To pound your sticky rice into oblivion all weekend and then do a football... Yeah. And then do a looking picture.
And you haven't had a shower.
Yeah, exactly. Nightmare.
This is absolutely outrageous foul, by you, Dawson. So what else did you get up to at the weekend? Did you didn't flout any lockdown rules? I mean, what even are the rules anymore?
Nobody knows. I didn't. I was away, so I couldn't riotously, either way, assemble. I've been away, and just been keeping my head down, really, staying out of trouble. No worries, mate. No worries. Mm.
Which is unlike you, because I think the thing is, when you say that you're keeping your head down, staying out of trouble, it means you're doing something truly objectionable, because you're quite upfront with the stuff you do that you're proud of, that you know is other people wouldn't do, but you'll put it out there, you'll go front and centre with it. When you start being quiet is when I traditionally start to worry.
I'm a bit like, I don't know, Grace Jones. I'm there to shock. That's what I'm trying to do.
I think that's probably the only way you're like Grace Jones. Maybe don't
cocaine abuse. Bang it to that. I could go toe to toe with her.
I saw a really, it's changing trains completely. I saw a really interesting story yesterday about the things that astronauts took to the
moon.
So apparently, I think it's a tradition with all astronauts now, but it started when the astronauts under the Apollo program started going to the moon. They were all given a I'm trying to find out what the I can't remember what the actual phrase was that they used for it. No, it was like they had a little pouch that they could. Oh, it's called a personal allowance.
Right.
Pouch.
Okay.
Right. Which they said, because obviously everything has to be
checked, and
the mass has to be checked out, and everything, and the physics stuff, and the weight, and all that kind of thing. But they were out of a personal allowance pouch, and each of them put obviously something that was important to them in there with them. And so I think it came from a tradition that soldiers have when they went to war. They would have a picture of their significant other, or before photography, of course, they would carry a lock of hair or whatever. But in this case, these guys carried different things. I didn't realize that when Apollo 11, when the Eagle module landed on the moon, Buzz Aldrin, I don't know if he's still a Christian, actually, but at the time he was a Christian, and he had with him a tiny miniature chalice with some wine and some bread in it, and he did a communion on the moon.
I had no idea that happened.
And so, the first the first time liquid was poured on another world, essentially, or another planet, or not planet, but you know what I mean, another celestial body, was communion. One thing I found particularly poignant was Apollo 16 in 1972, Charles Duke left pictures of his family on the moon's surface with a handwritten message for posterity, it says in the article. Unfortunately, solar radiation bleached him and his family out of existence.
Oh, no.
So this is a blank white piece of paper now. And then, of course, most famously, Apollo 14 in 71, Alan Shepard. Somehow, I don't know how this fitted in the personal allowance pouch, but Alan Shepard took golf clubs and balls with him and hit the longest drive in history thanks to reduced gravity on the moon.
I remember that picture, yeah.
Yeah, so it's quite cool. Now, I think the reason this story sort of came to my attention is because I was reading about the guys from SpaceX who went off last week. They both had a toy dinosaur from their sons. Their sons gave them a toy dinosaur to take with them. It's like a Lucky Charm type thing. And I kind of went down a Google hole and was reading about it.
Could you not, what do they leave it up there? That would be pretty cool if you were like, you know, you left it.
Well, they're going to the space station, aren't they? So they wouldn't be able to. I suppose they could do.
Or just release it into. I mean, if you're going to get a satellite knocked out of the space with some space trash, imagine having the imprint of a toy dinosaur. That's the thing that does it.
In my mind, it's the dinosaur of.
Me too. Really, really heavy.
Yeah.
Andy written on the bottom.
But I thought that was quite a cool thing.
That's lovely. I had no idea you had a little personal pouch. I mean, as you said, I think golf clubs is a little bit beyond the pale. I would take up licorice all sorts. There's no licorice in space. I mean, everything that you will probably do will be the first time that anyone's done it in space, presumably, unless you're particularly not very imaginative. Yeah. Boring. Well, if you're like the first person to eat some Marmite in space, like, everything you do will be the first thing, realistically. So yeah, just choose something that's absolutely mad.
What you know, there's like that thing about about the universe, where they say that like 85% or whatever it is of the universe is so far kind of undiscovered. It's made of a substance that no one knows what it is. Imagine if it was actually licorice.
Molasses. The great molasses.
Oh,
spill.
No, we found it. The math seems to suggest that it's actually licorice.
Yeah.
So we need to send Pete Dance not to eat.
I'll bloody do it.
You would be able to do it. You'd be the best person for I reckon, wouldn't you?
That would piss you off, wouldn't it? Because you're like obsessed with space and stuff. You'd be really annoyed if I was like the most...
No, I'm too scared to go there.
You wouldn't.
I'd be happy for you to go there.
You wouldn't go? I mean, Jiminy.
Well, I mean, do you know what? I was speaking about this to someone the other day, and they work in the area of... they work in the media, but in the area of kind of space travel and science and stuff. And they were saying the same thing. Oh, no, they'd be too scared to kind of do anything too full on. They like the theory of it and they're fascinated by it, but it takes a special type of person. You know, like Tom Wolfe said in his book, The Right Stuff. You've got to be made of the right stuff. But it's interesting. In that same book, when they were doing sort of readings of the astronauts, their pulse and their blood pressure and stuff, when they're sat on top of the rocket about to take off, some of them, I think maybe John Glenn, who's sadly no longer with us, one of the real pioneers of space travel, when he was sat on the rocket, and I think Buzz Aldrin might have been the same, about to take off, their pulses didn't change.
Right.
There was no real discernible excitement or increase in pulse or heart rate or anything. It's just part of it. I can safely assure you, Pete, if I was sat on a space shuttle about to go off into space, my heart rate would be through
the roof. I'd have some sadly, personal items that I'd let out into my space suit, I tell you what. He's sloshing around.
Well, Pete looks like his personal allowance pouch appears to be full of human shit.
Pete's turned his entire space suit into a big Capri sun, sloshing about in the visor. Oh dear.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if but they do say though, don't they, NASA, that like if they advertised for a one way mission to Mars or to any kind of other place, that they reckon they'd be inundated with applications though, because some people are into it.
So yeah.
What I would say is, if you're that reckless with your own personal safety, you probably should.
Let's open this hatch. Let's let some air in.
Yeah. Ah, oh, boring.
Let's do a loop de loop. Ay, ay, ay.
yeah. So it would be, but I thought that was like a fun, cute little thing, because it's quite. I mean, they shouldn't be littering on the moon.
No,
that's important. Learn the lessons from this world, really. But maybe give them a little bit of a pass for taking something personal up there with
learn,
them.
Learn from the Haven Holiday Park, Lee. Look, it's a campsite, so just calm it down. You know, just don't leave shit around.
What lessons have you learned from Haven Holiday? Because I went to Haven back in the day as well.
Yeah, caravanning less fun than you think.
Yeah, but yeah, it's like real life, but everything's uncomfortable. Also, one of the things I learned from Haven is that it's the only place on Earth, and I've never seen this before or since, where you can get a two-person bike with a awning over the top of it and ride it around.
Hang on, a two-person bike as in with an awning? Like, as in,
do you remember that?
What, like...
So imagine...
It's a four-wheeler, yeah?
So like, imagine two bikes put together. Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah.
And then there's like an awning over the top, and you cycle them together. And I think so. I'll tell you what it's like. It's like a two-bike tuk-tuk.
Yes, yeah, that made sense. I thought it was just one bike, but with an awning over the top of it, with two, like a tandem bike, but with an awning over the top. I realised that there's four wheels. So it's more like a Flintstones car in many ways.
Exactly right. It's a great place to culturally reference, because it's exactly
with spokes.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you, by any chance, get a opportunity about a month ago now? I don't know why this just come to mind. This is a complete non sequitur, but for some reason I've just thought of it. About a month ago, there was an amazing, and I do mean amazing, article in the New York Times Magazine into a long form interview with Val Kilmer.
No, I didn't see that. No. Is he back?
He is insane. No, he's not really right. Back in the way that you would know him, but he is quite mad. I mean, it is incredible quite how mad he is, but in a kind of eccentric way rather than a kind of this is exploitative kind of way. I don't mean as in, oh, look, let's all point at him and laugh at him.
Well, he's a cancer survivor, isn't he?
He's, yeah. Well, this is the thing, though, Pete. He is a cancer survivor, and this will become clear if you read the article when you get a moment. He denies that he had cancer.
Right, okay.
So it's quite strange the way he approaches it. He sort of talks about, when he's asked about it by the interviewer, he sort of says, no, I had symptoms that are commensurate with cancer and treatment that cancer people need, but I actually don't see it that way.
Oh, okay, yes. He's one of those guys. He's not a Scientologist or anything like that. That sounds a bit quacky.
I didn't know he's a Christian scientist, which is almost problematic in a slightly different way. But one of the things I found fascinating about him is that I didn't know at all, because he was just so popular. For people our age, Pete, he was gigantic, wasn't he?
He was
massive.
Up there.
The proper superstar.
He was up wasn't he? You know, Top Gun and Batman Forever and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But what I didn't know was that he's actually a really quite offbeat, artistic kind of guy, and that the idea of being a mainstream box office superstar never really sat with him that well. And he wanted to do all these art house movies and these different things. And I think he spent quite a lot of his time more recently doing that type of stuff. But I didn't actually know that. I just thought he was just mainstream kind of pop, like, box office megastar, really. Because there's a difference between a Hollywood star and an actor, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Well, handsome, though, you've got to be very careful with cultivating how people see you. I think if you don't want to be a pretty boy, like Brad Pitt, like, went through the same sort of thing. He worked very hard doing the big Hollywood stuff so he could afford to do the small, slightly more indie, interesting films.
Yeah, there's a picture in this article of Val Kilmer in 1981. Performing a theatre production, I think. He is the most ridiculously handsome man you can ever imagine.
He is, isn't he?
He just looks ridiculous. It's like he's been created in a lab.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He looks ridiculous. Like, same with Brad Pitt, I suppose, really.
I watched a film with...
And you could tell,
Pete,
you don't
mind.
Yeah,
yeah, I was waiting. I was watching watching a film on Netflix with Natalie Portman in it. It's a sci-fi film. Can't really remember the name of it. Let me give it Natalie Portman. Netflix sci-fi. It is Annihilation.
Sort of Star Wars. Oh, okay. Annihilation
good,
is brilliant.
I've really, really good.
I thought it was brilliant.
It was excellent. The final, we talk about CGI quite a lot on this show. The CGI is quite pony all the way through until the end, and it becomes something better. Like the when it's doing like animals and bears and things running through the forest, it's a little bit pony. But when it starts to get artistically more creative, I think the visual effects are some. You would look at it and sort of go, "That was done by a 10-year-old on an app." But the way that they've used it is more.
That's how you look at most of my work.
It's done on an app, wasn't it? You look at it, and you sort of go, "Oh my god!" Like, that's so beautifully done. Like, they've used sci-fi not in the way that Hollywood uses sci-fi. They've used it in a really creative and abstract kind of way. It's an amazing finish, and the music. the sound that comes in when they're in the cave thing is just, I won't spoil it, but it is just something else. It's amazing. Yeah.
I think it's a brilliant movie. Fantastic. And do you know what? I'll fill in the blanks, people, if you don't mind, Pete, and say that the reason I watch this movie is because it's made by the chap that made Ex Machina.
Yes, yeah. I know you're a big fan of that film.
Which
is
also a brilliant film. Is it Alex Garland?
It is Alex Garland. Alex Garland.
Yeah, and so he made this movie, Annihilation, which I'm not sure, Pete, did it go straight to Netflix?
According to the person I was watching it with, she said that it was too weird for, it was apparently too weird for release, right. So they just put, you know, they pumped it to Netflix and Netflix took it, and it's brilliant.
Yeah, so I said to Mimi, I said, oh, look, you know, we were looking for something to watch. I said, oh, well, Ex Machina was amazing. We both really loved that, so let's watch this. I thought it was one of the best movies I've seen for a very long time, and I can understand why people kind of checked out around the final act, which I won't go into any detail about, but I actually really enjoyed the final act. I thought it was a really, really good movie, well worth a watch. And if you've got a Netflix subscription, which everyone has, go and watch it. I can't believe, in fact, Pete, that we didn't talk about this at the time I saw it, because I was really into it, but maybe we did and just forgot. But I'm pleased that you enjoyed it as well.
What makes me giggle is, I've got to say, it did actually come out back in the... Oh, so it did come out briefly in 2018. And then sort of ended up on. Yeah, I can't believe I missed it the first time around. It's so good. It's, I guess it's one of those
weird and creepy and quite scary.
Oh, it's brilliant. And I just really, really enjoyed it. And I would never watch it in a million years if someone else wasn't choosing the film. But like Oscar Isaac.
Well, welcome to my world of Pete's Film Club, by the
Oscar,
way.
Oscar, I know, right? I've absolutely put you guys through the ringer. Oscar Isaac, very enjoyable that a man so handsome doesn't appear to have abs in a film, which I don't think I've seen a film recently where the leading, well, not the leading man, but the man, the love interest, the handsome man doesn't have a ridiculously sculpted body. And I was like, well done, Oscar. Thank you. Thank you for that, mate. Thank you.
Yeah, he's quite versatile Isaac, because, I mean, yeah, if you think of the role he plays in the new Star Wars movies, it's completely different to the role he plays. So he goes from being this hotshot, pretty boy, like fighter pilot in Star Wars. In Ex Machina, he plays like a Mark Zuckerberg type character, but obviously not as racist. And in this movie, he's quite different again. He's good. I like him, Oscar Wilde. He's got a lot of charisma.
Enjoyable.
Hasn't he?
Enjoyable. Is he from Guatemala or is his dad from Guatemala? Like this one?
I don't know, actually.
I think he might have been from Guatemala. Yeah.
Pete. Will I get away with calling Mark Zuckerberg racist?
I think you can get away with saying, with me correcting you, Luke, by saying he's not racist, his algorithm is racist.
he just continuously funnels people into far-right propaganda on the website.
Exactly. Yeah. I just push people into my shed, and if it happens to be full of offensive magazines, that's not my problem. Yeah. The shed is racist. The shed is sexist. The shed is misogynistic. The magazines are misogynistic, and that just because I push people into my shed and say, hey, look at these magazines, that's the shed's fault.
I love the idea of Mark Zuckerberg being at a cocktail party and someone saying, what do you do for a living? Well, I've got this kind of gigantic racist shed, right? And everyone's in it.
I am the algorithm wrangler.
And it's probably ruined the world. I think it might have ruined the world. So I'm very busy.
It's
like when Dick Cheney accidentally shot his mate in the face hunting.
Yeah, and somehow got away with it.
And he had to do an apology, but the apology said something like, mine was the finger that pulled the trigger that fired the gun, which meant the bullet hit my friend in the face. It's like, okay. Yeah.
It was a shotgun. It would have been a shotgun, wouldn't it? So it would have been pellets. I mean, that's messy. That is messy. You can really...
I'm not... I don't know much about
guns. I don't know much about guns. Did you see that guy who was this dirty little incel who wanted to blow up a bomb and kill some cheerleaders or something? And his face, there was a picture of his mugshot. Let's just say it went rather badly, his little homemade bomb. I think it took both his hands off, and his face looks like, I don't know, it just looks like a dirty old loaf of bread. It's absolutely destroyed.
Don't make your own bomb.
No, we cannot say that. We were talking about the Jolly Rogers cookbook on a private WhatsApp encrypted channel earlier on this week, weren't we? Look, I'm just saying, it's what the kids used to talk about when we were kids. The Jolly Rogers Cookbook was like this semi-legal kind of pamphlet in the 80s that was available, certainly on a floppy disk, and like people would sort of trade these kind of plans on how you'd make your homemade bombs and like rockets and stuff like that.
It's been used by quite a lot of
people. Well, it kind of branched into training for Taliban and ISIS members, but then the other fork seemed to be white supremacists. Fascinating. There's definitely a documentary to be made about the Jolly Rogers Cookbook and how it got updated so many times to we're in the state now where I believe it's exclusively a white supremacy a set of pamphlets.
I think it's totally illegal now.
Well, yeah.
I think it's totally illegal now, yeah. Pete, you also educated me on something that I completely passed me by a number of years ago. You were telling me about it last week, about a bunch of, I don't know who they were, like Proud Boys or whatever, just weirdo kind of internet white supremacists or whatever, who commandeered a ship.
Yes. The I can't remember what the name of the ship was, but it was a load of European incel fascists, proto neo fascists that not proto neo fascists that commandeered a ship. I think they were mainly Italian. I want to say there's a couple of Germans on board as well. And they went to their plan was to go to Libya to disrupt the NGO rescue efforts of migrants in the sea. And there was a YouTube video of a tour. I think spoke about it at the time, a YouTube video of these of the ship, this guy's taken it around and interviewing all the people who were on the ship, and they are all absolute wrong'uns, these neckbeard kind of thinning haired kind of ill-looking men,
mate. What did I say to you at the time? I said imagine the
worse than I smell right now.
Oh, you'd smell them, you'd smell them coming. The BO would just be off the charts. It would be
sharks,
awful. None of them would have washed their t-shirts.
Sharks coming up thinking it's chum's been thrown into it. Rotten chum is being thrown into it. Yeah. Is this ambergris or just the smell of these rotten boys? But they're out in the sea and it wasn't a documentary, it was a self-published video. I think I've still got it. It's horrible. But they talk to these kind of hairless men and their bunks are an absolute shit state. They do not look like seafaring men. They do not look organized enough to have a cabin. But they've all got excellent gaming PCs, excellent thermal paste covered gaming PCs with satellite connected 4G internet connections and stuff. It's just the smell, just masturbating and writing racist filth onto the internet from sea. But the sweet kicker was that their boat or ship was in some kind of engine trouble, and they had to be rescued by the same NGOs that rescued the Libyan migrants, which is just sweet, so bloody sweet. It doesn't even bear thinking about.
That is delicious. Speaking of that, it reminds me of. I saw Sky News the other day, and it was I think Adam Bolton, and he was doing a story about something. I forget what it is. It's not important. But on one side was a guy from the New Statesman, who was in his office, and being asked to give an opinion on this. And for those who don't know, the New Statesman is like traditionally a kind of progressive, Labour supporting publication. Right. I think that's right. That's right.
I think it's changed a bit, but yeah.
Yeah, roughly speaking, anyway. And the other talking head they had was, self-styled enfant terrible of the Brexit movement, Darren Grimes, right? Who looks about 20, I don't know how old he is, and appeared on the webcam in his gaming chair. And I thought, I don't think news should be like this in 2020. I'm either completely out of touch, but how is this even possible?
Is he that little scrot who's from the northeast?
Yeah, I think Durham, he might be. But anyway, Adam Bolton was fuming with both of them and didn't give him any time at all. It was almost like completely pointless as a feature because he was like, right, yeah, cheers, off we go, and did something else. So, it's kind of interesting how gaming chairs, Pete, have now become part of the accepted mainstream. And presumably you've got some kind of...
Look, the amount of times I see my gaming chair, I can't remember who made it, but my gaming chair on internet streams and on people like Grimesy in his little grimy chair, I do sort of think, wow, I've chosen the right one because it seems to be the most popular one.
I should say that's Darren Grimes, not the person that's married to Elon Musk.
No, no. Is that how you say it? Grimes? Is it Grimes? Oh, cool. No, I know.
I don't know.
I thought he was married to Churches.
Similar.
Churches.
Yeah, who knows what's going on? We're just out of touch, Pete. It's just how it is.
I can't keep
days.
Up. Like right. The amount of there was a Celebrity Pointless on the telly, and I mischaracterized Mark E. Is it Mark King? Mark King from that band, the bassist. Mark King from Level 42. I thought it was Mark Knopfler.
No, that's Dire Straits.
Yes, I know. Yeah, and I also, there was a woman from The Only Way's Essex on, and I had no idea who she was. So like half of the people on Celebrity Pointless, I just couldn't get my head around it. I couldn't figure out who these people were. I'm scared and confused, and that's why I'll be voting for Boris Johnson in the election.
My mum messages me, because my mum knows what I do to an extent. And she's obviously very supportive of him, but she doesn't know it that well. So what happens is she'll conflate the idea that I do this with the media in general. Mm. And so what happens is at a certain time every year, I get a text from her saying, with the list of all the I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here contestants, asking me if I know if any of them, the rumours are the ones that are going to take part in it, asking me if I know them and whether they're going to do it or not and what I think of them. And I'm not joking, last year the only one I knew was Ian Wright. who they actually were, I think, was Ian Wright. So I don't know why she keeps asking me. She asks me every year. The return on her investment is very, very slim.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why she does that either. But yeah, it's confusing. And half of the people will be internet people who won't be here in 2 years' time because they'll have said something dreadful. So if you ever see, I saw KSI on Gogglebox, and he barely speaks in that, and I can only think it's because he keeps shouting stuff that isn't broadcastable.
Right, and you know that in and that was particularly, I didn't see that TV show, but I saw that in today's political climate, this makes this even worse, and I understand that. I'm not going to name them because I'm not entirely sure which publication it was, but let's just say a mainstream publication confused KSI and his friend with another black man.
Oh, good.
And so wrote a story about it, which got them a huge amount of backlash. This is part of the problem, everyone. This is like Stormzy all over again. People need to take a bit more time and care and show a bit more respect to what they're supposed to be reporting on, because that is not helping anyone.
But you know, it is an inherent race blindness that we all have as people of the earth. But there needs to be leadership from above in media organisations that needs to go, look, this will be a shitstorm that you don't want to be a fucking part of. We know you're not doing it deliberately, but you need to fucking just take a little bit of time and be a bit more careful about shit, because it's indicative of a wider problem of a lack of visibility of minorities in the media. I mean, some of the figures, we were talking about this on a private channel, some of the figures from certain media organizations of how many minorities are in it is just stark. It's something else.
But Pete, the other thing about it is, I agree with everything, and I understand it's hugely problematic and very regrettable for them to do that. As you can probably imagine, Pete, there's another dimension to my anger about it. It's just the sloppiness of the work.
Yeah, I mean that is. I mean, it's just check your admin.
Work. Check your work.
Admin. I mean, I guess we had what did we have? Was a football manager who'd started in America, and they just found a bald man. God, who was it now?
Yeah, it was
and they just found a bald man. But that kind of went down to the metadata that was attributed to, obviously, visually, completely different men, but that was down to the metadata that was applied at Getty Images level. So if someone who doesn't know football at all is going to Getty Images, you even have to check their work, because they might be saying that someone is someone when they're not actually someone, especially on a red carpet. You get when you're on a red carpet, you're a photographer, you get like a list of people that are going to be on the red carpet, and you get photographs. But when things are going really, really quickly, and you've got to file pictures really, really quickly for use as soon as possible, it's a race against time. So you have to be diligent at every point of the tree.
It'd be a nightmare if you became more famous, because you look
exactly.
Like everyone.
I could be like Teabag from Prison Break.
Poor little image editor's been working out if it's you or not. My goodness me, that's a full-time job itself.
Right?
I don't even know sometimes.
I know. Gary Neville.
Pete, I want to end with this quick story. We haven't done any emails yet. Maybe we'll do some emails as an email special on Thursday, okey-dokey, perhaps, instead, because we've got a load of good ones. But before we go this week, because we are well over, but that's fine. We make our own rules. is this news story took my eye because it's just so typical. And this came out, I think, late last week on the BBC. May was the sunniest calendar month on record in the UK. And spring was the sunniest spring since records began, say the Met Office. I mean, how ridiculous is that? On average, the UK gets 436 hours of sunshine between March and the end of May. Since 1929, only 10 years have had more than 500 hours, and none have gone more than 555 hours. This spring, we've had 626.
But it is just like, I mean, obviously, there's climate change and global warming, all that stuff that is going to factor into that.
Yeah, that's
but
part
I always sort
of, yeah.
when they sort of, I was talking on WrestleMania last week with Mark, and Mark was saying that every time a new kind of WrestleMania appears, they sort of say it was a bigger financial draw than it was ever. It's the biggest financial draw in history.
Yeah,
because you're charging more for the tickets every time, and it's still the 80,000 seater that you were selling out in WrestleMania 2 or 3, you know. So it's just like, it's a bit of a fallacy.
Well, it's like, I think if you, there's a thing in box office, movie box office success, isn't there? Where you, I mean, part of it is they have to do inflation adjusted box office success, because I think if you do that, I believe I'm right in saying that Gone with the Wind is still the most popular box office success of all time, even though it came out in the
30s. Nice.
Yeah, so because obviously the Avengers, those Avengers movies and stuff, and Marvel movies have done ridiculous numbers, like in the they measure them in the billions now, really. But you go back to how big a hit Gone with the Wind was, which is mad considering it's about 4 hours long. I think that is an inflation adjusted box office success. I think Gone with the Wind is the top dog.
Top dog. Well, we'll leave with that.
There we
inflation,
go.
Inflation, injustice.
Yeah.
Adjusting.
The true crime of our times.
Yeah, we'll be back on Thursday with more of that. If you want to get in touch with the show, we will be doing an email special. We've got some cracking ones in the pipe. It's hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. We'll be back on Thursday. Bye.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I thought you were going to wrap it up.
Cheers, everyone. I will. I'll wrap. Okay, everyone who's still listening, this is Signposted, me wrapping up the show.
Lovely.
Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you on Thursday.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.